Good morning. Can you find a place to sit down in the little maze here? Well, we got the rain the farmers have been waiting for all year, right? Finally came. So that's great for us. So this morning, we're just going to start and do a bit of a Sunday school teaching for the next 2 weeks. It's one that I've done on my own, and I'm just sharing it with you because it goes with what I shared. It just furthers on. When did we do it? Last fall? This fall. Must have been in the spring. When we did corporate worship. But there's way more to worship than that little bit of corporate worship. And so this is more about the why and how we live worship. Last week when I shared for the morning session was on the love of God and how great his love is for us. And that there's nothing that he expects from us, but from that love, when we have the knowledge of how much God loves us, something comes out of us that we're able to return that love. I can't remember where it is, but it's in John. We love him because he first loved us. It's written in here somewhere. I'm sure it'll come back to it. But our response to how much God loves us should be evident in our life. And if it's not, then is it because we don't believe God loves us? So that's what we need to be looking at today, because he's called us to something more. So the question is, what is true worship? Well, to understand true worship, we kind of have to define what worship is. It's the act of showing reverence and adoration for God. It involves deep respect and honor of who God is, what he has done, and what he will do. Continuous, past, present, whole life, eternal, what he will do. We can show our adoration and appreciation in many ways. We sing, we pray, read scriptures, serving others. However, these actions alone, they don't make true worship. They're actions, but our true worship comes beyond appearance and what we do. It's a matter of our heart and our spirit. And so it changes. So you can do all the good things you want to do, but if you do them with a crappy attitude, it didn't really do much good, did it? But worshiping God is a matter. He's looking at our heart and our spirit. True worship is a result of submitting to the guidance by Jesus. In John 4:24, it says, well, you can turn to that, John 4:24. We have lots of time. If you didn't bring your Bible and you have the Bible on your phone, that's good. But if you're scrolling through your phone, I may ask you to read the scripture, so make sure it's not anything but your app, right? Because you might have to share things you didn't necessarily want to share at church. This way it'll just be scripture. Oh, come on here. I brought my sticky Bible, so. 4:24. And this is Jesus speaking to the women at the well. And he said, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Isn't that cool? Here he is. This is just so awesome. This is the woman, the Samaritan woman, that he's talking to. He's telling her how to worship. She doesn't get to go to the temple. She's telling her, yeah. Says in 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. So awesome. But part of the foundation will keep going on is that True worship requires a relationship with God and not just performing the rituals. But worshiping in spirit refers to worshiping in the Holy Spirit, because God is spirit and truth. So if the Holy Spirit enables us to walk deeper and more intimate relationship with God, since he's part of God, and now as believers, where's the Holy Spirit? In us, right? Holy Spirit's in us. So worshiping in the Spirit means allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and influence your worship, making it genuine and from your heart. But the other part of that verse said that God is spirit and truth, and we're to worship in spirit and truth. John 17:17 says, my word is truth. And so who do we see in the word? Who's the word? It's not just these. Yeah, Jesus is the word. So when we're worshiping in spirit and truth, we're worshiping with Holy Spirit and Jesus, Jesus them guiding us. Since the Bible was the inspired word of God, it's the ultimate truth. But true worship involves a deeper connection with both Holy Spirit and Jesus, who embodies that truth of the word. I mean, Jesus, I mean, in the beginning, he spoke the word. He spoke the word. Just so simplistic, yet beyond our imagination how that could even happen, that we don't always see the fruit of our words, and maybe we're blessed because of that, because some of our words aren't, we would rather not have come to life. But God spoke the word and brought us all into being. So true worship is more than a performance or a set of words. It requires that connection, being rooted with God in spirit and truth. So there's such an importance. We get singing songs and reading the Bible, and our good deeds are a way of worship. But if they're done, if they're not done in spirit and truth, they are only rituals. And we've seen that throughout history and been another. It's just the ritual. It's the same song, and it's the same scriptures, and they read these scriptures every day at this time of year. But if it's the Spirit and Jesus aren't in that, it just is a ritual. It's rot or rote, whatever they call it, rote, right? I know my expert of the words is over here, and there's a couple I don't know how to say, so it's a good thing I have the Greek girl there. God is a God of completeness. So what better way to worship than God than in Father, Son, and Spirit? So we have to make sure that we add. And so the true worship involving our being and every part of us is when we invite Father God to connect with us. Connect in that. Be transformed in his presence and honor with our whole lives. Like when we come to church, like none of it happened without it starting with Father giving us the Son and Jesus sending Holy Spirit. But it's still our God. There's some examples in the Old and New Testament and some key verses where the Bible says to talks about true worship, and we're going to look at some of those and go a little deeper into the meaning. But here's just a thought. You might need this for home group. Have you ever experienced the difference between true worship and mere ritual? Yeah. If you have never, I invite you to, because it'll knock your socks off. Yeah. So there's a difference coming with your heart just to worship. Jesus emphasized the importance of worshiping in spirit and truth. And we talk about truth in the context of worship. We refer more to not just spoken word or doctrine. The truth in worship is about being of truth, a physical manifestation of the word. This is where the Strong's Concordance comes in. The aletheia is the Greek word for truth. Did I say it right? And then it signifies the reality of God's nature and his redemptive work through Christ. So the truth is his resurrection, his reconciling us to Father God. The Bible further confirms Jesus' role as truth in John 14:6, when Jesus himself says, that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you have your notes, we have other references that also show the way to God, including maybe someone would, Jesus as the way. Maybe someone could look this up. 2 Timothy 2:5, Romans 10:9, and Isaiah 9:6. Did someone get, I don't have the hand mic. Honey, can you get that? The hand mic? Thanks. Oh, Chris has got it. Yes. Just let Crystal have it.
Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. That's 2:5. Do I have the right scripture?
2 Timothy, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe it's 1 Timothy.
Maybe. So I have a typo. It's just confirming Jesus as the way.
Yeah. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Okay. That's the one.
That's. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whoever came to him and believed would have everlasting life, that he's the way to everlasting life. Who had Romans 10:9? Wendell. Is that the right address?
I don't know. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, yeah, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
That's right. He's the way to salvation. And Isaiah 9:6.
Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Again, showing in the Old Testament Jesus as the way. And we see that prophecy fulfilled, which is awesome. In addition to the spirit and true worship, in addition to the truth, true worship must be spirit. And the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, there we go. That's from the Strong's Concordance. But that's the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. Don't you just love that? It's like he breathed on us. Holy Spirit's not just a presence, but an active force that empowers and transforms us. We cannot worship without the Spirit's presence. And when you see that breath of God, we know that when we become saved and Holy Spirit comes in us, and a lot of people get mixed up when they see moves of the Holy Spirit happening about, but the Holy Spirit still breathes. The Holy Spirit is still out in the world doing things. We still feel the anointing. We still feel his presence. It sometimes is only rising up in us, but out there, believers feel it too. And unbelievers, the Holy Spirit guides us and touches us. And sometimes we don't expect to feel from the Holy Spirit or sense his presence. But I want to encourage you to sense his presence. Sense the presence of God wherever you are in these days. He guides us. Holy Spirit guides us. He gives us understanding of God's words. And he, too, intercedes for us, praying in another language that we don't understand when we're praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer as we should, but Holy Spirit himself knows our needs and the right time. He intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groaning, too deep for words. That's from the Amplified description, but too deep for groaning or too deep for words. He takes care of it for us. It highlights the crucial role we have with the Holy Spirit in our worship. helping us make a deeper connection and have more meaning in what we're doing when we're worshiping. True worship is not just the rituals and saying words. It's about connecting with God through Jesus, the embodied truth, and the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. This kind of worship transforms us from the inside out, aligning our hearts with God's will. It moves beyond the surface to engage with every essence of who God is. We get to know every bit of him. He keeps no secrets. In fact, he tells us he'll enlighten us to those secrets and treasures. We seek him and search for them. When we worship in spirit and truth, we invite the fullness of God's presence into our lives, and we acknowledge Jesus as our living word and embrace the Holy Spirit's power and guidance. This kind of worship is transformative, bringing us closer to God and helping us live our faith in a more profound and authentic way. True worship isn't about just the internal actions. It's about our internal transformation, our connecting with God. To further illustrate these concepts, I'll just read a couple of scriptures for you. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." This version emphasizes that true worship involves offering ourselves complete to God, living in a way which is holy and pleasing to him. I talked about a little bit about that last Sunday, but it's like, okay, what are we looking at? What are we doing? Where are we spending our time? Where are we going? Have we surrendered completely? And you know, it's easy to get up into the fact that, you know, Jesus loves us and he delivered us from our sin. But Holy Spirit, there should be a transformation that sin isn't my go-to. Sin is the thing that's like, oh darn, where'd that come from? Right? I need to be walking in righteousness, and that's part of my worship. Part of true worship to God is walking in righteousness and not living as the world lives. Hebrews 12:28 and 29 says, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Here, worship describes that act of reverence, that awe, the power and holiness. When was the last time you cried out to your Father God and saw him as of consuming fire and were in awe and wonder? Just think of the heavenlies. The angels don't have to worship God. They do it out of awe and wonder of his greatness and all that he's created. You have to remember, they see the whole picture too. So they're like in awe of what Father God is. And one day we'll be there singing the same awe, but we get to do it now here on earth just to be able to come. Hebrews 12:28, 29. Philippians 3:3. "For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Jesus Christ has done for us, but we put no confidence in the human effort." It's New Living Translation. Everything about our salvation, everything about how we worship in spirit and truth, everything is about what Jesus has done for us. That's the only reason we get to worship. We can worship. Otherwise, you don't have any, otherwise it's idols, like things that have nothing to do with God. Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord said, "Because this nation approaches me only with their words and honors me only with their lips, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me is traditional that is learned by rote without any regard for its meaning." So God wants us not to be following those kind of traditions. The Lord isn't fooled if you're the skilled singer, skilled preacher, skilled at whatever you do. He's not fooled by those words. He wants to see your heart. True worship is in your relationship with God and Holy Spirit, and it's grounded in those biblical truths. You'll hear that a lot, because you need to get that is where your true worship's coming from. The Holy Spirit plays a crucial role as part of the third part of the Trinity for true worship. The Holy Spirit if our worship lacks the breath of God and that divine presence, it becomes powerless. And you've heard that sometimes. You've been someplace and you're saying, gee, that didn't seem right. Something seemed off. But it's like, oh, maybe they forgot to invite Holy Spirit into that place. He'll help us to understand and internalize God's word. He guides our prayers, connects us deeply to the Father. So keep worshiping. Without Holy Spirit, you lack the breath of God. And you think about that. When the Holy Spirit is the breath of God, when we're praying, and even when you're praying for someone in the Spirit, praying, that sweet, sweet breath that's coming out of you, too, that you're sharing. Acts 1:8 says, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power, and then you'll tell everyone about me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and everywhere in the world. The holy power enables us to be able to share, live a vibrant and life-changing, and have those experiences here on earth. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We are free, and to be able to share that. But it's only when you recognize that that's in you and you're saying, come Holy Spirit, let's go. Let's go to Walmart. Yeah, let's go to Walmart. And I know of a lady who was saved in Walmart, so don't ever underestimate what the Holy Spirit will do. You can be saved anywhere, so just take them with you. True worship. Worshiping in truth means grounding your worship in the reality of who God is, what he's done, Jesus and the living word, the embodying his truth, and our worship can reflect that. We reflect God's character in our the redemptive work that he's done in our lives. We've all come from somewhere, and we all have issues that we'd like to keep buried and done. But you know, God's redeemed us from those. You're not that person anymore. You're a new creation, and we need to be able to walk in that. We want to see in John 1:2, 1 John, verse 2 and 6, whoever says he abides in me ought to walk in the same way in which I walked. And that's it. We want to see that embodiment of Christ in us when we're walking out and what we say, what we do, where we go. Like, is the world seeing Jesus? Are they seeing that truth? Ephesians 5:1-2 tells us to, and we talked about this, is to imitate God as his children. Just like Jesus look up to their earthly father, we look up to our heavenly father, and we want to imitate that. And it always reminds me, it's like, who gives the good gifts? Papa, Father, our Heavenly Father. We're to imitate that. Are we a good gift in the world where we're going? Or people are like, oh gosh, here she comes. What am I going to deal with her, right? I mean, that can be a reality, but it's like, people should see us as a good gift when we're coming to be able to encourage them, bring life. Love is the heart of true worship. That love of God that we have and that we share back out with the world and honor God with it. Jesus said the greatest commandment was, of course, in Mark 12:30. I think that's the right verse. The commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and spirit, right? Mind. And then to love others as yourself. And you know, interesting, last week a couple of us talked about that. You know, that is a good commandment, but sometimes we don't get the love ourself part very good because we fail at that. We're like, how am I going to love when you have things in you that you don't love? And then I prayed about that this week, and it's like the Lord showed me. It's like, oh, but then you haven't believed who I said you are. You're still seeing the lie of the enemy or who you were, but it's like, that's not who you are. Our love for ourselves is because he first loved us. And to walk through that. And so then if I'm not loving me, I'm condemning me. And it's like, oh, that's totally against what the word of God said about me. And so now everyone here who struggles with loving themselves, it's like, now we need to say, like, oh, if I'm not loving myself, then I'm not believing anything that God did for me. Because he said I'm a new creation. He said he made all things new. He said that greater things from me are going to happen in this world. Jesus promised those things to me. I'm not walking in his love and his grace and his promises. I need to be able to believe those words and be that love. And so I want to encourage us this week too to just look at that heart and say no. And I just think Joanne and Merlin used to teach the kids about being fearfully and wonderfully made. And I think it was Trudy when her teacher asked her something in school and she said, oh, no, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thought, yeah, that's right. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's like, I have everything in me to walk out a godly life. He's given, prepared me for everything. And there's no, I don't need to be condemning myself or hating myself. I need to just see how much love I have and pour it out. So now I lost my place here in my notes. See, there you go. Well, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. When we let the Holy Spirit guide us, our worship will overflow with the love of God as poured out on us. We can show our love for God because he first showed his love for us. We can also demonstrate our love by gathering together and worshiping him as church and in corporate worship. And we were going to get to do that this morning, showing that love. And we can also show our love and our gratitude and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a vital aspect of true worship. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. I'm the temple of God, right? That's what we learned in Corinthians. We're the temple of God. So if we're in the temple, the courts must be right in here somewhere. And I need to start praising God and giving him thanks. Thanks, Lord, that I woke up this morning and I get to go out and we're going to go do something in the world. It's really easy to wake up and say, dang, that knee just really hurts, right? It's like, no, it's like, there's got to start with the victory, right? True worship is vital to keep us God-centered in our lives. Now, maybe being said, if I'm like waking up, it's like, dang, Lord, that knee hurts, and I just claim that healing in Jesus' name, I'm putting them back in there. But we don't want to be guided by just feelings or circumstances. We want it to be remembering, focusing back, spiritual truth. Christ is in me. How am I sharing this? Aligning ourselves with God's will and experiencing the fullness of his presence. That true worship from the inside will draw you closer and deeper in your faith. It will unite you closer in the body of Christ and strengthen our church community. Through true worship, we testify of God's goodness and share his love with others. It's so important that we get it. True worship can take many forms, from that heartfelt song of praise, acts of service, by praying or giving. Each form of worship can be unique because we're all unique, but it's your expression of love to God. Remember, true worship's not about perfection or performance. It's about the genuine relationship with God, added to the Holy Spirit and grounded by the truth of Jesus Christ. So we seek to worship God in spirit and truth, giving him the honor and glory he deserves. Let his true worship transform you from the inside out. Recognize all the things God's done with genuine gratitude. Like when you're saying thank you, Jesus, are you really meaning thank you? Thank you? Are you going to own it? Just own that gratitude, that key component when you're entering before Father God and worshiping. We must remember not to leave our thanks at the door, but to hold, and especially when we're in corporate worship, be vocal, share it and praise it. The posture of our heart is critical in worship. God looks at our heart and not at the outward action. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's when God was telling Samuel when he was picking David, and he was picking out the brothers, Jesse's sons, and he was looking, and he's like, "Ooh, this older one looks like he's right on. He's king." And that's when the Lord said, "No, that's not him. It's that one." And it's like, "Oh, because I'm seeing something different than you're seeing, right?" So, but true worship, David had the heart of worship. That's what we often hear, that that was in David's heart. Even that, even when he was out in the field with his sheep, he still had a heart of worship. So true heart comes from the heart that is humble, sincere, and fully devoted to God. The posture of your heart matters more than your outward action. You know, because if you're going to do it like grumpy Gus, it's like, don't come back when you're feeling like, hey, God, let's do this. Humility and true worship. We need to still be humble, even in our worship. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Recognize our need for God, and approaching him with humility opens the door for deeper connection with him. Humility allows our hearts to be vulnerable toward God. If we think of our hearts as clay, that molded clay, is it rock hard or is it pliable that God can mold it and use it? And sometimes God stretches us, stretches our heart a little bit, bends us in places that we didn't think were bendable. But he always will bring you, he will always bring, when we humble ourselves before him, he will always, always lift you up. And surrender. True worship involves surrendering our will to God. This is a harder one. But you know, Jesus was our example of surrender. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, here he is, he knows what's going to happen. He says, not my will, but yours. Like, that's incredible. That's Luke 2:22-42. We worship God truly when we submit our lives to his authority. Romans 12:1 urges us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Sometimes surrendering your body looks like putting our hurts aside and worshiping God, regardless of the situation. So sometimes you just have to do it. Sometimes we have to, I don't know the song, but the sacrifice of praise, right? Sometimes we're praising through a sacrifice. One of those news sites, he's got that hard bought hallelujah or whatever. Like, sometimes we're just going through the hard times and we need to still praise God and say it. And even if it doesn't change, we still need to praise God through the hard time because he's with us, regardless of the situation. Surrendering to God gives him control and trusting his plans for your life, which is truly a profound act of worship, that we're trusting him. Because some of the things in our life we don't really like or didn't want to see and don't understand why it's going on, but we can always trust in God and say, yes, God, I trust you, and I know your Holy Spirit will guide me exactly where I need to go and how I'm going to do this. How do I live through this situation and come out victorious? And when you think about Corrie Ten Boom as such a good example of that, here I am in a concentration camp, and it's like, how do we do this, God? And she comes out not only well, but continues to save people and lead them to Christ in the most horrendous, horrible situation of death and destruction all around her and hurt. Yet the victory, all because of that trusting and surrendering to Jesus. As you grow in your faith, remember the importance of true worship. It's not just about going through the motions. It's about engaging your heart, your mind, and your spirit in a genuine relationship with God. True worship is a powerful way to deepen your connection with God and experience his presence. Live out your faith. I don't know if I have time to start this, but maybe we can have a discussion time. Because then I would rush it, and I don't want to rush it. But how about we just take that few minutes and we could break up into those little groups of tables. And let's talk about, have we ever experienced the difference between worship, true worship, and a mere ritual? Because we can do that for 5 minutes before we pray, we end with prayer. So we can do that. And then I'll close after that. Can you just slide up? And I'll give you another question as you get there. Okay. Have you experienced the difference between true worship and mere rituals? and share it with someone, because someone else might want to have that same experience with you. Can you pick a place? Pick someone to sit with. Kate, I know you hear God when we're worshiping. So I hate to make you end, but I want to tell you, from my here, it's so incredible. Because when you guys started to talk about the extravagant worship of experiences you saw or had been a part of, your countenance changed. Your faces lit up. It was like, ah. And it's like, we can have that every day, that change. And like it said in that first verse from John 4:20-23, yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. And I can tell you, it's just not the word that tells you that we are changed. You can see it when you talked with each other and shared about the great things that you've seen in times of worship. We are changed. So let's expect that this morning for our church. Let's just close that prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. And we just give you praise and glory. Lord, we come here this morning with great expectations for the next part of our service. Lord, we're just trusting you. And we are claiming that extravagant worship because it's coming from our hearts. Lord, as we worship you in spirit and truth, and we give you glory and honor. Amen. Amen.